What is normal?
What is home?
What a cows! Having your brain smashed out by a slice of lemon wrapped in a large gold brick. It's episode 66 of the Movie Mixtape.
My name is Dirk. Joining me on the Heart of Gold in this intergalactic voyage of friendship, I lift my nose, clogged and unblown, in reverence to Mikey P. Mikey P, how are you doing?
Dirk, hello.
I said that. Hello.
Hello.
Muchas gracias. Hello, how are you?
I missed you.
I know that because you just sent me a 50,000 texts like in the last half an hour telling me that with lots of kisses. And I appreciate them. And I'm going to screenshot them all and print them out and put them on my walls. Also joining us. She has a million ideas and they all point to certain death. It is Marcy Dale.
Marcy Dale, how are you doing?
Hello. Is that a negative or a positive? Because technically we're all headed to death, right?
Is that a negative or a positive?
So. Two negatives equal a positive.
Okay. All right.
That's why Dirk does too. Yeah.
There we go. Silver lining. Thank you, Mikey.
Listen, I've seen the film Oppenheimer. I'm just trying to work out that maths, if that's correct. Two negatives make a positive. Yeah. I'm not sure it does. In the podcast world, maybe. But in real life, no. Two negatives just make you more negative.
There's all these physicists together building the atom bomb, and Dirk's just like, two negatives make a positive. That's what I know. We're good. This is how we win the wars.
But, to be fair, I'd have checked out a long time ago. Yes, Marcy, go
like
on.
Like you did when you watched the movie. No, just kidding. But...
3.5 stars is good.
It's not. Oh my gosh. All right. Anyways, I'm good. I have some things to tell you, but I'm good. How are you?
Flipping it. Already just going into it. Well, hello. Marcy's about to just unveil on us some facts or something. So before she does that, I thought I'd better say, come in, sit down. You'll be more comfortable. This is, like I said, the Movie Mixtape. We are three incredible friends. It's true. And this is a podcast about movies. You can tell because it says so in the title. And we are taking the theme of a music mixtape that you would create for your friends back when you were teenagers in the 1980s, because you were all teenagers in the 1980s. And we are flipping it on its side and doing mixtapes with movies instead. Movies we love that we share with each other. Mikey, this is a theme you've come up with that we're doing. What's it called?
Rediscovered Mix. Let's go back to the past. Movies that we used to enjoy, maybe we haven't seen in a while. Let's go back and see how they shape up in 2024.
Mm-hmm. That's it. In a nutshell, beautiful and succinct. Wonderful. And it's Marcy's pick, and we're going to talk about this in a little bit. And Marcy, what is the film that you have picked?
I have picked 2005's The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yes, you did. That's what we're going to talk about in a little bit. And we are one of those podcasts that use chapters. So if you just want to skip this bit, I don't know what we're going to talk about, but Marcy's just unraveled some kind of massive scroll that's just fallen down to the floor of items she wants to talk about. So we could be here a while. So if you want to skip it and just go straight to the movie, you can use the chapters. Are you all right, Marcy? What do you want to talk about?
I have some thank yous and apologies to give. What do you want first, the apology or the thank you?
Mikey?
Thank you. Let's save the apology is deserved.
They're directly... Okay, well, they're directly for Dirk, but...
Oh.
Then he should
decide.
Okay,
well, we'll do thank you. Well, okay, what do you want?
I want a thank you first, yeah.
All right. Do you want to know where I watched this movie?
What, this time? Do I want to know where you watched it on this watch? Was it my house when I was out?
Yeah, it was. Thank you.
Did you watch it, Marcy?
I watched this on Disney Plus because Hulu and Disney Plus have officially merged. So thank you.
Oh, wow. Well, you're welcome. It took a long time for me to broker that deal.
Though.
I had to talk to Mickey Mouse and Bugs Bunny to get them to come together and combine their talents in one streaming service. But let me retort to you and say, it wasn't on Disney Plus over here.
Wow.
Oh.
I know. I had to rent it for three figures. Wow. I mean, there's a decimal point after the first figure, but it was still three figures. You know?
Okay, so there's your second thank you for doing that.
You rented or you bought straight up?
Rented. Maybe Roger Rabbit could give me that back.
So Marcy loves a movie. And you don't also automatically say it's got to be a buy.
Well, hold on a second there, Mikey, because as you so eloquently described, it's a rediscovery. Yeah. I don't know if she loves it yet. I knew she loved it.
I said I loved it last week.
She loved it. Exactly. Past tense. Do we still love it? That's Marcy, don't give the game away. That's the whole point of this episode. We're going to find out if you still love it. Oh, my goodness. The horse has already bolted. Get on with me, apology then.
I recently returned from a trip, and I was in Peru, and it was very high altitude, so lots of sun, and we were told to put on our sun cream.
What?
Oh, wow.
What?
So they call it sun cream in Peru, and I just wanted to say I had a giant smile on my face when I heard it, and I just want to say I'm sorry.
You want to talk about callbacks?
Callback. I was going to say, are you sure they do that and they're just not listeners of the show?
Maybe. Are you sure that your tour guide was not Mary Poppins?
No, his name is Julio.
Julio Smith from Brentford.
Julio Sanchez.
Just outside London. World, apart from America, calls it sun cream. Okay? I cannot lie to your face again, Marcy. So I'm going to tell you the truth. The whole world calls it sun cream because it just sounds like fun. It sounds playful. It sounds like
it's just like the metric system. You know, we don't. So yeah, you know,
exactly.
I'm sorry though. I just wanted to say it. I'm a bigger person than you, and I just wanted to say I'm sorry.
Well, you're 5'2" and I'm 5'8", so we know who the bigger person is. But I will accept your apology. With the spirit with which it was intended, to try in some way still act superior over me. But I'm glad. I hope that you were appropriately wearing sun cream and were not burnt whilst you were on holiday. But I'm glad you had a nice time. That trip that you bought 5 years ago, you finally managed to get on. Thank you, pandemic and child.
I do have one other thing too. This is like a warning. This is a warning for everybody listening. And slight spoilers. All right, everyone. We are going to talk some big spoilers for X-Men 97. So just beware. If you haven't watched it, please just skip ahead. We really want you to enjoy the episode. So, all right, thanks. Bye. But if you have a platform and you have a podcast, do not ever say who your favorite X-Men is, because bad things happen. And that's all I want to say.
She
I said slight spoilers.
Wait, what?
I said slight spoilers.
Right, listen. We didn't say what slight spoilers for. So people will be like, it could be slight spoilers for An Officer and a Gentleman.
I mean, that's
Richard
what
Gere.
I was referring to.
Well, I've seen that movie, so I'll keep
dick
listening.
Never seen it. I just know that happened.
Right, I think what Marcy was alluding to is the TV event of the century, X-Men 97, Episode 5. The wind was knocked well and truly into, then out of my sails. Mikey, how did it sit with you? No spoilers.
I'm sorry. I was Googling Richard Gere naked.
Mikey, you don't need to Google it, right? You can just...
Oh, right. I forgot. Yeah, I forgot. What was the question? Yeah, it's unfortunate. Now, I felt bad because I was listening back to our Chasing Amy episode, and I was like, I wanted to really talk about X-Men, and then I was realizing at the time we had not known what was going to happen, Dirk, and I felt bad. Marcy said she hadn't watched it. I just wanted to talk to somebody about it. And then this was a great episode to talk about some people, I don't know how you are, like all the episodes to be released at the same time so you just binge them. I particularly like when shows are weekly like this because I feel like there's conversation a lot about this episode with Gambit. And I think if it was just to blend in with a whole season, nobody would be talking about it as much. So it's funny, people's different take. My sister, Kaz, she was a wreck. She's a complete wreck. So that was her childhood first, probably her first crush.
One of them.
Like Marcy. Same. Yeah, one of them. Well, yeah, my sister had it. And my brother had watched it and he said, yeah, he's not dead. He's not really dead. He's not. There's this comics. It's not dead. So it's funny how she took it so seriously and he was like, it's his show. There's no way he's dead. He's not going to stay. But what an episode.
Mikey, have you been supportive, though, for your sister in this time of need?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, Remy's a household name growing up. I mean, he was yeah.
I guess. We've entered spoiler territory.
I mean, we already did
spoiler. Like 7 minutes ago.
All right. Well, yeah. Can I just tell you my situation? I've been talking to Dirk about this and I'm really sad. And I said, well, maybe Cable will fix it. And he said, nope, I hope he stays dead. And I don't care that you're upset.
You know why, Marcy? Because heroes' deaths have to have consequences. Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
The flippant nature of deaths in comics really does. You get tired, like your brother was saying, don't you? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's not going to stick. That's not going to stick. I hope it sticks because what an episode. What a death. What a hero. And that was the best Gambit ever. Best Gambit ever I've ever seen. Comics, TV, movies. Well, that's not saying very much, I guess, is it? But that was the best Gambit.
Go on. Yeah, I agree with you, because then you don't want to retcon his ending, because what an ending it was.
I love him.
You think about the important bits of art and stuff that you consume. The consequences are long-standing, aren't they, I think, in TV, movies, the things that really matter and resonate. Because if he comes back, then it will not matter as much. It won't be a big deal. You'll just have that moment in time where you felt that way, but it won't stay with you. So I think it would be better because it's just one show. He's in the comics. He can be in any movie you like. You can cast whoever you want to play him in movies, but for this one show, I hope he stays dead, because then he'll stay a hero. That's what I reckon. And that's not because of spite to you, Marcy. Honest to goodness, I just think that was such a like the best episode of TV I've seen in a long time, and why ruin it? I think, Mikey, you were talking about like how the fact that it's released weekly is a positive, and it's created a space to have a conversation. I think it really has. And I remember feeling the same way about Twin Peaks, The Return, when that came out. I couldn't believe we were getting this weekly, like episodic cinema level TV show. That was just blowing my mind in each and every week. And I think if it had been dumped on a streaming service, I would not have had that same, I'd enjoy it still, but it wouldn't have had that same anticipation, or where you sat for 7 days just thinking about it and wondering what's going to happen next. And I just think there's a real joy to it. So I love it. I wish it was a bit more like that. And I know they do that for certain shows, don't they? And Shogun does that, doesn't it? The one, obviously. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I've not started that one.
And it is, I think, one of my favorite. It's going to probably be one of my favorites for the year, and it's one of the best things I've seen in a while. So I really, really love it. And that's ending next week, so.
Do we have anything else?
Nope. I've said my piece. Thank you for letting me talk.
Are we going to talk about The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
Yes. So I was lucky enough to get sent the synopsis. So, Mikey, if you could please play the synopsis I was sent by some friends.
Interesting.
Okay. Well done.
That was a very short synopsis.
You didn't understand that? You didn't get that?
Unfortunately, I do not speak second smartest animal on the planet. So, Marcy, could you translate that for us?
Lucky for you, I had a minor in marine biology, so I can translate that for you. So I believe this message. I might get some of it wrong, and so I apologize. But I believe it says, "Hello, yes, we have returned to the new restored Earth. You humans probably don't recall when the planet was demolished for an intergalactic highway. Your species became endangered with the interesting Trisha McMillan and the grumpy, mediocre Arthur Dent. They traveled the galaxy with Arthur's friend and savior, Ford, not a human, but an alien. Manically depressed Marvin and self-kidnapped president of the galaxy, Zaphod Beetlebrox. The goal was to find the meaning of life and the significance of the number 42, but along the way, some of the group discovered what really matters in life and decided to leave Earth forever and go adventure amongst the stars. We understand this is probably going all over your head, so please just provide us with some fish and all will be well. Love and kisses, the dolphins."
Oh, thanks, dolphins. Thanks, dolphins, doing Marcy's work for her. Slacking off again. Here we are. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, second movie in the Rediscovered Mix. Marcy, you picked it. The movie from the 2005s, because you wanted to rediscover it. What did you want to rediscover about this film?
I'd say last week that I love this movie. I did love this movie. I still love this movie. I think really it's just more of a universal rediscover. Like, I think this is a cult classic now at the time it went. So it comes out in 2005. I don't think it was really well liked, if I remember correctly. I'll get into when I saw it and everything that happened. But just if you love the books, if you love humor, if you love science fiction, I think you should just rediscover this or discover it yourself. So, or maybe you forgot about it. So this is just for everybody. Like, hey, rediscover this. I love this movie and I think it's so much fun. So that's why I went with The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Beautiful. So you're forcing a discovery on the whole nation of the world. I like it. Exert that iron will on everyone. So I'd seen it before, so I was definitely rediscovering it too. I think I said last time I have seen it once before at the cinema when it came out, so I hadn't seen it since then. So I was pumped to watch it. But Mikey, you'd never seen it. Is this correct?
Never seen it. I don't have a recollection of seeing a commercial of it or a trailer, and I have no memory of this movie. It could have come out. It could be a brand new movie. I had no idea. I had no recollection of this.
Are you aware of the property, like the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
I think it was sort of like something I've heard, like Dune. I didn't really know. Like I heard, maybe but like I've heard it or seen it in bookstores or something like that. But I don't even know. Is this like you said? It's a series of books or is it just one book?
Oh yeah, I think there's five books, right? Five books. Okay. Go ahead.
You guys have read the books?
I have read them all. It's been a while though. I would really like to reread them because it's been a while, but they're absolutely hysterical. I think it was in the early 80s, there was a TV show, but I have never seen it. And I think even before the TV show, it was a radio program after or before the TV show. Dirk, I can't remember.
It was radio. Yeah, it was a radio show first. That was the first thing it was. And then the books, the TV show, the computer games, whatever, came after. Mikey, it's computer games. Multimedia.
Oh. Yeah. Point and click games? Or like, we're talking like even older?
Well, yeah, early computer games. So yeah. Do you know what? I've never played it, but I would imagine it would be point and click, something like that.
Marcy, did you read the books before watching this movie or after?
So this is actually really funny. I was watching MTV before school one day. And remember they used to do like little behind the scenes of making of? And they got into this movie and they got into creating the Vulgons. And I was really interested in all of that. So I'd never really heard. I was only 15. So I had never really heard of it. I think maybe like subconsciously, but like it was just like you said, Mikey, it was something on the back burner that I never really paid attention to. So I was watching this making of before school. And then a couple of weeks later, it came out. And I was like, we have to go. I made my friend go. But I saw this making of. I made my friend go. We get to the theater. I think it was opening weekend. It is literally her and I and then just two old ladies, a couple rows in front of us. And that is it. And I had no idea what to expect. But I swear to God, this could also be an instant mix for me pick as well, because as soon as those dolphins start singing, holy shit, am I all in. We were cackling and having the best freaking time watching this in a theater, and then the old ladies in front of us were also laughing and having a great time. And we talked to them a little bit after, I remember, and they just were like, oh yeah, we really like the books. And then that's when I realized there were books. I bought the first two and started reading them like immediately. And then since then I've read them all, but like it's been years and I would really like to read them all again because they are, we'll get into it more, but they are a little bit different. Douglas Adams, actually the guy who wrote the books, he wrote the screenplay for this movie, but he did some changes and added some characters. But that's all him and he's the original creator. So I think it's cool when the original creator's like, you know what, it's been, I mean, yeah, I'd like to update this or change this or add this. And yeah, we'll get more into him, I'm sure. But I am obsessed with this franchise. I still haven't seen the original TV show, but I am absolutely in love with the books in this movie so much. And I would like to check out the other stuff for it one day, but yeah. How about you, Dirk? What was your relationship with this series?
Well, it's a very popular franchise in the UK over here. It's pretty famous, Mikey, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Mm-hmm. It's, you may have noticed when you were watching this film, but it's quite British in many, many ways.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there's a definite love of comedy sci-fi over here and things that fall very similar to this that I was into as a teen and a kid. Things like Red Dwarf, have you seen Red Dwarf? Stuff like that. Have you seen Red Dwarf? So that's a popular sci-fi, comedy sci-fi show over here that ran for a very long time.
And it's the first time I heard lots of it.
Really?
Yeah.
That is, I mean, that's a very famous show over here, but it's similar, has real echoes of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. You know, it's just like a lot of hooting around in space, but a lot of banal mundaneness as well at the same time. So The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, growing up, there's a TV show. Probably was a bit too young to watch the TV show. I think it was early 80s, mid 80s. But I had the images in my head. I knew what it was. And then with the movie coming out, Martin Freeman, I like Martin Freeman in 2005. I mean, most people in Britain probably like Martin Freeman in 2005. So I was going to go and see the film. So there I was when it was coming out with a lot of people in the UK watching Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and very excited about it.
It wasn't just you and two old ladies in the theater.
No, I mean, I think the film overall did all right, but obviously not well enough to sort of continue on it. Like Marcy said, there are multiple books, which, you know, I'm smiling already, like you, Marcy, at the beginning with all the dolphins and stuff. And I'm like, well, you know what you're getting out of this film straight from the get-go. But they do mention, like, the titles of other books. Mm-hmm.
They mention immediately all of them, except for, I think, one's mentioned in a deleted scene, so it's not in the final movie, but they do mention all the titles of the books. Mm-hmm. Like, So Long and Thanks for All the Fish is the title of the third book, Mikey. Restaurant at the End that's of the good. World is the second book.
That's good. That's good.
Something Harmless. Slightly Harmless.
The Life, the Universe, and Everything. There's The Life, the Universe, and Everything. The Restaurant at the other side of the
At
universe,
the End of the Universe. That's what it's called at over the end here, of the at universe, least. Yeah.
So, but they put these little things throughout it. So you're like, ooh, I wonder if we're going to get more. But it didn't do well enough for that, unfortunately. So here we are. We've got this one bit of art, this one bit of creation that we're here to talk about. But Mikey, so me and Marcy, we're sitting there, we're enjoying this opening scene with the dolphins. But what are you thinking? You've never even heard of this. You don't know this is a big deal.
Yeah.
You're like, what's going on here?
I mean, I knew.
Why am I watching this?
No, I think what I appreciated was the, I guess, like sci-fi aspects. And there isn't enough comedy and sci-fi together. Unless it's something slapsticky like Spaceballs or something like that. Or like I love Fifth Element, and that's like sort of more comedy, but that was very like action and sci-fi focused. And yeah, it's not like so much.
It's not like it's a harder sci-fi, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Right.
This is whimsy.
Mm-hmm. Whimsy,
this is
right.
Whimsy sci-fi. A bit, you know, I said Red Dwarf, but also you put in Doctor Who with that. You know, it's not science fiction that takes itself very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
It's stuff that happens in space, but people also get like spades smashed into their head. You know,
yeah.
it's right. That sort of thing. Yeah.
And the sort of not knowing anything, just the off the wall, random, complete randomness of it. Mm-hmm. I loved, but I feared, I would think some of the, suggesting this movie to, it's hard to recommend this movie to people. You really have to know who you're suggesting it to, because I could totally see some there's might be people around me that know, be like, look, if you look at your phone for 2 seconds and look up and be like, what the hell's going on? And then be like, this movie's so weird, whatever. So I would be hesitant to recommend it to somebody. But for me, just the complete absurdity of everything was right up my alley. Like, I love that. And then just, I think to be honest, like in the beginning, I think I was a little bogged down by the spacey, like the sterileness of it and like the coldness. And then I realized it was kind of purposeful, because once you get towards midway and they're going on the colors, it must've been purposeful, because the colors are popping and every single scene I like for the art, I just have references. So like when I see something cool, I'm taking a picture just to refer back to later when I'm doing the art. But then I must have taken like 50 pictures. Everything towards the second half of this movie, or, you know, halfway through, is gorgeous. And even, I don't know, Marcy, you could tell me about the director, but every like frame, every character's frame, character is framed perfectly in
all right, no. Do you want to take a guess? This director is only known for 2 other movies, something and its sequel. Do you have any guesses? His name is Garth Jennings. Do you have any idea what he's directed?
Mikey, before you go on, Marcy's acting like they're terrible.
They're not
movies.
Terrible. They're not terrible.
Movies.
It's just they're
excellent.
I've only seen the first one, but they're not bad. I've only seen the first one, but it's just something completely. Maybe not. It's definitely whimsical, like Hitchhikers. Any idea what you want to guess?
Percy Jackson.
No. They're animated. It's called Sing Uh-oh. And Sing Too.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? Oh, my God. Holy God. Wow, that's interesting.
What I didn't realize until this watch, this is one half of Hammer and Tongs. Hammer and Tongs, legendary music video directors as well back in the day, because I heard that name so often, like in like a, I don't know, like a magazine music show on TV. I didn't know who the heck it was, and to realize that he was one of the guys that went to direct Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and The Greatest Living Movie About a Singing Pig. Sing.
Aww. Sorry, babe.
Sorry, Muppets. Just for 1 second.
Oh, sorry, Muppets.
But you know, God bless you. God bless you, Garth Jennings.
Mm. That makes sense, because there's a lot of choreography, I think, with characters moving into frame and things like that that were really eye-catching while I was watching. So that's something I wasn't expecting. I like right away knew it was going to be a comedy, and I knew it was going to be a rom-com. There's a romance aspect to it and a sci-fi aspect, but I didn't really expect to have it be artful, I guess, or directed well. So I appreciate everything they were doing.
What
costumes?
I just want to say that I think the beautiful thing about this movie and the books is how hard it makes fun of human beings. Yeah. And I just kind of, I love, so Mos Def, that's not his name, now he goes by what, Yassine Bey? Is that how we pronounce it? I believe so, Yassine Bey. Mm-hmm. But at the time of this movie, Mos Def, who was a famous rapper, I think does he still do music, Mikey? I don't know.
I think so, yeah.
So sure. Maybe maybe in America, the most famous person in this movie at this time, which is crazy to think about. He had just started, I think this is like his first movie he's in, either this or Be Kind, Rewind. I can't remember which one. He's amazing as Ford, but I just love whenever, you know, Arthur's like getting explained to about everything. And he's like, I'm not from this planet. He's like, didn't you think it was weird? I was trying to introduce myself to a car. And there's like a flashback to him thinking cars are like the dominant species and him like holding his hand out. And I just love that it's like, you know, humans aren't that great. They're kind of like sheeple, like even when they're in the bar. And he's like, is the world really going to end? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, should we put bags over our heads? Will it help? And he's like, not really, but you can if you want to. And I just love it so much. Or when the Vogons make the announcement, like, you know, we're going to demolish your planet if you wanted to, like, to complain about this. Like, the plans were in effect for, like, 50 years. You just had to go to this building or whatever. And just all the screaming around the world and everyone freaking out. It's just, it's so funny how so many people think they're the center of the universe. And there's just this whole big other world out there where that's so stupid and naive to think about. And but that's a lot of people on this planet. So I just love that it makes fun of that. And it's that, I don't know, the humor in this is so good. And then in the books, it's just as good, maybe even better.
Do the books have this? It probably works better in books, but that narration, because we had a narrator in this movie that kind of give some exposition of certain things, and the animation that went with it I thought was really good too.
Is so smart, because so this is 2005, CGI is decent. I actually don't think this movie looks that bad for when they do use CGI. What I love about this movie also is there's so much practical to it, like the Vogons are all puppets. Marvin is actually Warwick Davis in the Marvin suit, which is pretty. Willow himself in the Marvin suit. And like the ship, inside the ship, the little mini ship when they crash land on the Vogon planet. So there's so much cool practical stuff, but there is CGI in it, obviously. But I think they're so smart to use it in the book form, because the Hitchhiker's Guide is so important to everything. And you can literally like ask it anything and it'll explain whatever you need it to. So they use really like minimalistic graphics to explain like what a Vogon is and why and why it takes them so long to do something. And I just love that they went this route that makes this movie timeless, because we've seen, like, you know, I just watched Event Horizon not that long ago, and I feel like that CGI aged immediately after that movie came out. But this is like where it's so minimal. It doesn't look bad. You know what I mean? It's just like simple colors and then like a funny like graphic to go along with, like, whatever, like the grandmother Vogon's getting chased by the dinosaur or whatever in the background. And then it's really funny stuff too. And this book knows everything. And I think it does its job at explaining how smart and powerful the book is as well. But I don't know. What do you think about the book, Dirk? Like, did you think they did a good job like representing it?
Yeah, I think that whenever you've got a film based on a book, I always fear that there's going to be a narration, because I just think sometimes that's an easy way out of doing a book to film. You've got somebody narrating bits that you can't see, because obviously in a book it's a lot of they're telling you rather than showing you in a book, whereas it's the opposite in a movie. But I mean, to come back to the beginning again, and as soon as we get Stephen Fry as the narrator, I'm just like, yeah, this is fucking great. you know, Stephen Fry could talk to me all day and I would bloody listen. So he's perfect. He's perfect as
absolutely.
As the kind of finding the tone.
The humor. Like, he gets it. He totally gets it.
He's an incredibly funny man.
I thought it was Tim Dale. Be honest.
At least you didn't say David Attenborough. David Attenborough.
I don't even know who Tim Dale is.
That's why Marcy picked it.
He's a very funny guy. Do you know Stephen Fry, Mikey? All? Yeah, you do. Yeah. Okay, fine. I'm just every so often I'll just stop and check.
Fry is also so smart that you believe anything he tells you. So I think he's also perfect.
Smart, man.
So where you're like, yes, these Vogons, you're right, sir. They come from this planet. yes, they're bad at poetry. Yes, I believe this. I am on board. Yes, I totally get it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it doesn't feel, to me, as somebody who hates a narration, like a bit like in The Wolf of Wall Street. I was a bit annoyed we got narration in The Wolf of Wall Street.
Right.
Like, why do we need that in this big, long movie?
Good
I don't
point.
Think we do. Like, but here, because it's about kind of like a book as well, so it does fit. And I think it's a perfectly cast voice with everything sort of said. So, yeah, I was into that. And I think it connects a little bit to one of the things that I really do enjoy about the movie. And I've already said it, but just this is a very British movie. And it feels like a warm blanket, which is a mix that we've already done before. And yes, because Stephen Fry's voice comes in almost immediately. But then also, like, the first, the two of the big plot points are people getting annoyed at building bypass roads, different things. And just that is something we get really fucking annoyed about over here. Somebody says they're going to build a road through a load of grass. People get absolutely fuming about that over here. So the fact that that was the main sort of crux to get this story going, I was into that. And then people just, like, popping up, who were just amazing, brilliant actors. Even just like Steve Pemberton at the beginning, who is the guy who's trying to knock his house down, who's from a TV show called The League of Gentlemen. And that is another sort of dark comedy, whimsical show over here. And then obviously later on, we get lots of other great British actors. And what is, I know Ford Prefect's not a British character, he's an alien character, but he's harmonized to the UK. So what is his reaction to a crisis? Quick, we've got to go to the pub. Yes, that is what people in the UK, in England do. What should we do? Oh, should we just go to the pub? Yes, let's just go to the pub. So I'm just like, I'm cozy right now. I've probably got a mug of hot chocolate. I may even have a few marshmallows in it. I'm probably propping up myself with a pillow too.
It definitely made me think of Shaun of the Dead when it's like, Winchester, yes. Winchester. Yeah, we're going to the Winchester. I just love how, like, Arthur's house on Earth is about to be demolished, and he didn't go into a basement to look for the paperwork, while also the planet Earth is about to be demolished. Same thing, but for, like, bigger, like, the whole planet, though, too. And the lack of empathy that a whole planet is about to be destroyed, too. But just love whenever he's like, Arthur, they're gonna, or he's like, Ford, they're gonna destroy my house. And he's like, how do you know? How do you know about that? And then there's all the bulldozers and stuff. He's like, oh, those guys, yes. And then he's like, people of Earth, I bring you beer. And he just has a whole shopping cart full of beer. I have to say, when this movie kicks off and, you know, Arthur, I'm going to save your life because you saved mine essentially from that car hitting me. When you get that zoom out of all the little, I don't know, what would you, like, demolition
ships.
Yeah. But yeah, I just, ships. That yeah. zoom out is so dramatic where it's like, and then it just, like, destroys the earth, and it's gone. I don't know. I just was kind of, like, shocked the first time I saw this, where I was like, wow, they really did it. Like, there's no, this isn't going to be, like, you know, them saving Earth. Well, it kind of is, but it's like.
No, I get you. It's like you feel, oh, my, no, I thought the point would be they would stop that or something like that. Yeah, I get it. It, like, it sort of usurps your expectations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I guess we should just backtrack a little bit. What is so crazy about this movie at the time? Maybe not the biggest stars, but you can argue that the four people in this are, like, some of the biggest movie stars acting now. Well, maybe not most deaf, but Martin Freeman is huge now. Zooey Deschanel is huge now. Sam Rockwell is an Oscar winner. Like, it is so crazy to see that whoever was casting this movie knew that these people are something special, and let's just put them all together and let them cook. And you do get some bigger names, like, for minor things, like Deep Thought is Helen Mirren. John Malkovich is a brand new character for this movie. Alan Rickman is Marvin. And then there's all kinds of other people, too, throughout it. But it's just, like, whoever casted this movie, amazing, because I think it helps, like, the aging process for this movie, too, where all of these people are so relevant and in the culture still to this day. Dirk, I had a question for you, and I'm just going to ask now, and it might be pretty obvious. Who do you think is my favorite character in this movie?
I instinctively think that it is... I'm going to say three names, okay? My first thought is Marvin, but then I also wonder about the whale that falls to Earth. And my other one, who did I have down in my head as the other one? Slarty Bartfast. Is any of those three correct?
It's Marvin. I love
yes,
Marvin.
That's
so
my
much.
First choice all the way through.
Can I just tell you, we have a little cart from IKEA that we keep like cookbooks and some other things on it, and we have named it Marvin. And it's because it looks so sad when it's rolling around. So we always go, oh, Marvin. Like, Marvin, I just absolutely love Marvin. And I think Alan Rickman is so phenomenal as just this manically depressed robot.
It's like the Eeyore of the group.
Oh my God. Yeah, okay, can I just say, like, I quote this movie all the time, and my favorite is, like, I talk to the computer, and they're like, and what did it say, Marvin? He's like, and it hates me. So cute. And we'll get into more in about Marvin and stuff, but I think Ford and Trisha and Arthur and Zaphod himself, like, they're just also great. Oh my God, as I was watching this, I was like, dang, Zaphod really reminds me of Beetlejuice, like, a ton. Like, where it's like, sir, you're great and a good time, but we need you to, like, get practical.
Here. You've got a lot of chaos energy that you're bringing into this.
Oh my gosh.
What do you really do with you turning that down?
I love Sam Rockwell so much, and I think he's so funny. And what is also hilarious is, to me, giving a George W. Bush impression, which he actually later did play George W. Bush in a movie and got an Oscar nomination for, but I think that's really, especially for the time this is, I think that's what he's going for. But do you guys have any comments, anything you want to add, like, about the cast or, like, who your favorite characters are in the movie?
Well, I was taken aback when I saw Mos Def, like, medium. Like, Mos Def?
Oh, he's so good in this, though. Yeah. He's so good.
Yeah, he really was. He really was good. Yeah. And because he added a spin, be like, you're from another planet. And he just, like, went for it. Zooey Deschanel, when was New Girl? Because I know this is around, is the same year as Elf.
New Girl's not till, this is two years after Elf. New Girl isn't for another six years.
Oh, wow.
Years.
Okay.
Isn't that crazy?
Let me say something, Mikey, about Zooey Deschanel. We've done two Zooey Deschanel movies, Elf and Innis, and she takes a shower in both of them. I mean, what kind of movie fact is that?
I would say Martin Freeman. My thing about him was I like him, and I think that's the point. He's supposed to be the likable guy, but I feel like he's the same character in, like, every movie. Like, he's supposed to be like
Martin Freeman had an assignment.
Yeah, no, for sure. But I'm just like,
that is Arthur. That is what's supposed to happen. And I think it's what I love about it is, like, Trisha is, like, the person that makes him realize, like, he can be fun and go out. And, like, I freaking love when they're at the party and he's like, all these people are idiots. And she's like, what? And then the music completely cuts out. He's like, all these people are idiots. And he's like, oh God. And I just love that. What I think, like, captured me so much and why I love this movie still so much to this day is, like, I have this, like, impulse about me too, where, like, it's harder now, like, especially with Kaya, but, like, when I just want to go, I just want to go, and I want to go do something. And she's like, let's go to Madagascar. And he's like, what are you talking about? I can't, like, just go to Madagascar. Is that a club down the street? Like, so I just like that they kind of balance each other out, you know, a little bit. She's realizing, like, a little bit more of, like, an anchor, which is him, but he's realizing, like, the fun in life and the possibilities in life, and that you don't need to just stay in the same town forever, basically. So I really like, I know they seem maybe odd, but I like the two of them together. I think they're a good match, and I think they help bring out the better of each other, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. You know what it is with Martin Freeman, though, Mikey? You know, Matthew McConaughey's character in True Detective season one, when he says, life's only long enough to get good at one thing, so be careful what you get good at. Martin Freeman is the absolute best at this type of character.
You're right.
And I, I have nothing but mad love for him. Mm-hmm. And I think he's so good at just like the, his facial reactions to different situations. And there's a bit when there's a bit I was cracking up when right towards the end, there's Marvin the robot, there's Arthur who's Martin, there's all of them are on the planet, and they're going to go through the portal to get to where the Great Thought is. It the Great Thought,
that, Marcy, Deep Thought.
That's the name of the computer.
Question.
Deep Thought.
And they all go through apart from like from Arthur, Martin's character, and Marvin. And Marvin says something, and Martin just goes, "Kee-koo!" You know, I thought that was going to happen or something. And he's just so annoyed and trying to keep it contained at the same time. I love him. I just absolutely love him. And I was watching a small behind the scenes thing, and he was really, you could tell he really wanted to be a different type of actor. Like he wanted to do gritty films. That's what he wanted to do.
Oh, really?
But sadly, Martin Freeman, you were the best at doing this, and so that's what you're going to get paid to do. All right? He may have a renaissance in 5 or 10 years and do what Adam Sandler's done maybe and reinvigorate himself. But yeah. Right now, Martin Freeman, get your Marvel money, but also enjoy being the best at this.
And Lord of the Rings money.
Yeah. At times I really thought, oh God, you could really see the Bilbo in him at times, right. Couldn't you? Going on his little adventure.
Yeah, that's what
going on his little adventure in his house coat.
And reluctantly.
Yes. I really felt that when I was watching it. God, I could see it. But what I loved as well was I loved when he was on screen with Bill Nighy, mm-hmm. and just the relaxed chemistry that those two had. Bill Nighy was so gentle. And just like, oh, when he's on the phone to his boss or something, oh, I'm not sure he'll go for it. Well, let me just ask him. Oh, the lads are saying they might just finish Earth because we've started it, haven't we? And just the way they deliver lines to each other, and it just felt like a real conversation rather than perhaps something that was being written down on a script and then repeated and regurgitated. I thought they were brilliant together. So I loved all of the scenes that they were just so charming, so goddamn charming.
Since you mentioned Bill Nighy, first of all, he has the hood on when he makes his appearance, and for some reason it's like you just recognize him as Bill Nighy, like you know who, it's not even the voice, but you know it's him. I'm dumb. I thought like at first, because I thought he was like a future.
Oh, no, me too.
Okay, this future version of himself showing up.
Yeah.
And then I was like, is this his father? Is there a deeper meaning to his character, or am I just reading into it? Am I dumb?
No, you're not dumb. I mean, he was wearing like he almost was wearing like a dressing gown as well, wasn't he? He had a very long sort of coat on. But I don't think it was anything like that, but I think they lent into it a little bit, that these were two similar characters.
Okay, because even when he says, obviously, your friends are okay, or he says something to him like that, you're going to be okay, like he's all-knowing. And then even when he gives his name, it's very under his breath, and he doesn't want to tell him. So,
he's like, I don't have to say my name. And he's like, would it be better if I said my name? And so, this is actually really funny. Douglas Adams wanted to write a name or come up with a name that would be shocking and appalling, but still be able to be aired on the radio. So, he comes up with Slurdy Barf.
Slurdy Barfest.
And I just love when he says, that's what I am. And he's like, oh, I understand why you didn't want to say it now. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely love anytime he shows up, so good. Again, back to Shaun of the Dead. He's like probably my favorite part in Shaun of the Dead. Yeah. He's so great. Mm-hmm. He is. Oh, yeah. Martin Freeman, really quick. Yeah. And Shaun of the Dead, too. But like you said, Dirk, I really love when they're going through all the planets and he's like, oh, I want a prize for it. And it's like, he does such a cute little comment. And he's so proud of himself. And I just like that. I just like how religion is kind of, they mentioned God a couple of times, but I just like, it's like, no, we made the planets. You know, sometimes we get commissioned. This used to be a factory that made them. Then we went out of business. And I just like that. I love the whimsy of that. And I do believe Martin Freeman's like awe when they're above everything. It just has to bend over.
Yeah.
And like can't believe it. And I think there's something really magical about that, like watching them fill up the oceans. And mm-hmm. I don't know, it's kind of like,
I love that. Yeah,
it's just really peaceful. That like, oh, and then you're also like, okay, they're gonna bring back Earth too, which is, you're like, nice. Okay, cool. It's not completely destroyed. But going back,
go ahead. Could I just say something on that, Marcy? So what I like about that as well is how it pushes the envelope a little bit further and just how mundane space life is. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, this is not a space opera. Mm. This is your life, but you're just doing it in space. Mm-hmm. Like when they're making the planets, it's like, that's Frank painting Ayers Rock. Mm-hmm. Somebody's just painting Ayers Rock with like a roller. And then somebody's filling the ocean with a hose pipe. You know, they're just doing very jobs, you know, basic jobs that you do. They've not got,
I like the mushroom
massive
guy.
They've not got like terraforming equipment. They're probably using like Lego bricks to put things together and stuff like that. And I think that is, it comes back to a little bit of like the self-deprecating nature of it all. It's like trying to turn everything down. Mm-hmm. Everything is extraordinary, and totally agree with you, Marcy. You can see the awe in Arthur Dent's character as he goes through and he sees everything being built, and it is amazing. But then they turn it right back down again, which I love, and it's just trying to keeps it small. And maybe that's why it struggles sometimes to find a little, like when you say, Mikey, who do I recommend this to? Because it's not bombastic. Mm-hmm. It's actually quite a small story that happens in space with very funny and interesting ideas. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah, all the different sets that they have too. I was going through this, I'm like, there's so many different, like every single day felt like they were on a different set or a different, they're in a different planet or a different scene. I like the diversity of all the different planets. Once they started going like on these trips, I loved it. Can I talk about my favorite scene already, if we can get to it?
Yeah.
My favorite sci-fi prop maybe was a point of view gun, which mm-hmm. I thought was, who wouldn't want this point of view gun? I felt like, I think we all kind of feel like we wish somebody could understand our point of view more, and we've all been victims of not understanding somebody maybe as much as we should. And that this gun, I thought was this at this point in the movie there. When Zoe Deschanel shoots the president,
Efron.
mm-hmm. shoots him multiple times, and he's just continuing to understand her point of view. And he said the things he's saying to her, and she's welling up with tears. I thought it was really gut wrenching, really like heart, like tugged at my heartstrings there. And I thought it was like really like such a cool like sci-fi trope that was something that we all could relate to in real life.
I think it was really powerful.
Yeah.
And it just kind of takes you a bit by surprise that moment is in the movie, I think. Because there are, Arthur has revelations, doesn't he? Like Marcy was saying, that, you know, maybe you can leave where you grew up and go out and have adventures. But that was an introspective revelation. Because I think, in a way, it almost seemed to me like she wasn't quite sure how she felt or couldn't articulate how she felt. She had all of this swirling inside of her. Mm. So Zefron, so she leaves Earth before it gets blown up with Zefron, who's the president of the galaxy, because he offers her a good time in a spaceship. But then she finds out he accidentally signed
Love
the papers
kisses.
To have Earth destroyed because he thought it was because he thought he was doing an autograph. He's mm-hmm. an idiot, basically. But we know we then later realize he's an idiot because he cut half of his brain.
You can't
off
have a full brain to be president of the galaxy.
You know, there's all these little there's all these little side things that go off everywhere. But you can see like she shoots him that one time, and he suddenly exposes the truth about their relationship. And you can see actually she's like, she wants to know more. It almost felt like she wants to know more as much as she wants him to feel more. And her reaction not being like, there, I told you, you know, you don't understand it. Just being silent as she mm-hmm. takes it all in.
Right.
And the tears sort of in her eyes. Mm-hmm. It's so good. So good. Mm-hmm. Really good. And then the killer line when they try and shoot her, and she's like, it won't affect me. I'm already a woman.
Yeah,
really good.
I was telling Dirk yesterday, Mikey, that scene made me cry this time. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't.
Oh, wow.
I just like to, like, where it's so relatable, where it's like, well, you're upset because you also wanted to know the answer to the question or to know what life is all for. And I think in that moment, she realizes, like, that stuff doesn't matter. It's who you spend it with and who you want to be happy with and what you want to do to be happy. And I kind of like that message overall. Like, you can ask till you're blue in the face, like, why are we here? What's the meaning? And really none of that matters. And it's like, just go out and make the most of your life every day and don't take it for granted. I think that's what you can take away from this. But it's just something like that really gets me. And how, like, sometimes, like, I'll feel lost and I'll have questions and then I realize, like, that's not what matters. It's this, this, and this that matters. So I like that. Can we talk about the random probability drive really quick on the spaceship? I freaking love that, and how whatever it is, they turn into it. So the first thing, you see the spaceship become a ball of yarn. And then, oh, no, wait, yeah. No, it's not the ball of yarn. It's the couch. And you just see these two couches on the bridge, and it's Arthur, and he's like, fold, and he's like, yeah, and he's like, I think I'm a sofa, and he's like, I know how you feel, and then they turn into them. So it's just like, I don't know, I just like, oh my god, this movie is so good. I just like, I love random weird things like that, and every time they turn into something, like when they're the yarn people and Arthur throws up and then they turn yarn, I just love those little details. And the flowers in the eyes when it's a flower. But the most important one is when they finally get to Magrathea, which is the planet that's safe. Magrathea! Magrathea! Like, every time he's yelling about it. And they get there, and they don't want people getting on the planet, so they shoot missiles at them. And they're not sure what to do, so they hit the random drive. And instead of making them go anywhere, it changes the missiles into a whale. And a bowl of petunias. And I get so sad because the whale does die. And they do go into this in the book too, that the whale does. Because they do later walk across the whale carcass. They come across it on the planet and they're like, oh, well, there's the whale. Luckily, they don't show it in the movie. But you're just like, oh, this whale is so... I would probably say the whale is up there in my top five characters. So you weren't wrong, Dirk. But he's just like, oh, what's this thing whooshing past my face? Oh, what's the thing at the bottom? I want to be friends with it. It's very round. What a round sound. Ground. And it's just so cute. And then you get to the... Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So... No, I was just going to say, so he's a famous British person as well. He does the voice, and he's in Hot Fuzz.
Okay, so we're okay.
So that's maybe why his voice is familiar.
And then you get the bowl of petunias and Stephen Fry going, and randomly the bowl of petunias just thought, oh no, not again. And if you asked yourself why the bowl of petunias said this, so like, you're like, and then it goes into like these weird crazy numbers of like why you shouldn't even bother asking like why the petunias. Oh my god, it's so good. It just makes me so happy. And like, I think honestly, like the dolphin singing in the beginning and the whale and the petunias are like, if you say this to me, that is like the first things I think of, are the dolphin singing and the whale talking to itself and figuring out who it is. But
I think it's the joy of Douglas Adams, right? I think it's like having the creativity and just the brilliance to do that, and something that you said earlier on, having the comfortability and confidence to say this is mine, but you know what, we can change it a little bit, and we can, and I think that is something that's so singular perhaps to this franchise, is that the creator of it was just like, you know what, this is how it was in the radio show, and then I'll change it a bit for the TV show, I'll change it for the book, and then for the movie let's change it in this way, and just wasn't precious about it, and really wanted to keep evolving with it.
So this movie was, as they call it, production hell for about 15 years. So for 15 years they were trying to make this movie. And in that time, like, Douglas Adams was rewriting things, writing things, adding things, you know, just really excited to just get it made, I think, because it had been so long since it's been adapted. And I think he had some things to say and wanted to add some things to it. And he has every right. It's his baby. And, you know, like you were just saying, Dirk, like that's he's not precious about it. But he unfortunately passed away in 2001. This movie doesn't come out in 2005. 5, but he gets the screenplay credit. And then right before they finally do make it, they just had a couple people come in and like fill in holes, just minor holes that weren't filled, basically. And then, you know, whenever the movie...
Marcy, I had an interesting... Sorry, stopping you just there because it's relevant. I had an interesting fact about the person who came in and did the...
Hole filling.
Adjustments, yeah. Mm-hmm. Somebody called Carrie Kirkpatrick. Do you know what their screenwriting credit is? A movie we have covered.
Mortal Kombat.
Chicken Run.
Oh, that makes so much sense.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Doesn't it make so much sense?
That's
yeah,
perfect.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I really like that there are a couple, like, actually some of the radio performers and some of the original performers from the TV show are spread throughout the movie as well, like little sprinkles. Like the guy that comes up when he's like, when they get to Megarthia and he's like, hello, like, this is a recording and we're not here. That was the guy that voiced Arthur on the radio program when it first came out.
And, played him on the TV show.
Oh, he did too? Okay, I didn't know he did the TV show.
Yeah, he did both. Yeah, yeah.
But at the very end of the movie, they hit the random probability drive and the spaceship turns into a bunch of different things. The last thing you see is actually Douglas Adams' face, which was pretty cool. And then I think once the credits immediately start, it says for Douglas, which is really sweet because they finally got to make the movie. Unfortunately, he passed away. But I remember when I was watching the making of thing that got me interested to go see it in the first place, and they were like creating the Vogons, they were just saying like Douglas like would have loved this, like this all coming to life and having so much fun with it. And I'm sad he didn't get to see it because I think this is great. I think he would have been like thrilled with it. But
does this movie does this kind of cover different topics of each book, or is this just the first book?
It touches a little bit. Like the dolphins don't leave until, well, I think the dolphins do leave in the first book, but you don't hear about what they all said until like the third book. And then they do kind of like talk about like at the end of the movie, they're like, we're going to go to the restaurant at the end of the universe. And that's what the second book is all about, is them getting to this restaurant at the, and then what happens is there's literally a restaurant at the end of time and space. And you watch the whole world, like everything, it just destroys and then it resets. And then you can sit there and eat food and watch everything. And it takes like about a half hour. And that's why they call it the restaurant at the end. But no, there's so much more. I think they like mixed in a couple little things here and there, but they definitely could have made more of these. I'm kind of glad in a way they didn't. I think this movie's so perfect that it didn't really need anything else. But it would have been fun, you know, just to see them come back and do something ridiculous again with it. I think the fact that it didn't do so well in the U.S., I think because that is where a lot of people make their money. China and the U.S. are two really big ones. And if you really can't get both of them on board, they're probably not going to greenlight a sequel ever. And then also Douglas Adams had passed away, so who's going to write it? You know what I mean? So I think that's basically why they didn't ever go back to it. But the fact that this movie even got made is kind of a miracle in itself.
I love the end because it is about the one thread that you know is going throughout it, I think, is also the romance between, I forget their names, but
Trillian
and Zooey Deschanel's character.
That is Trillian.
Okay. And Martin Arthur. Freeman. That's right. And Arthur. And then at the very end, when he's confronted with the mice, and there's this whole question about what is it all for that goes throughout time, and he gets frustrated and he says something about, I have a million questions always in my head and not one of them ever make me happy. And there's only one, and it's, is she the one?
Is she the one?
Is she the one? And I thought that was... sometimes that is like I liked his part, like nothing makes me happy, because it is like you could go through life and kind of like have all these questions and experience all these things, but unless you have that one, it sort of doesn't make a whole lot of happiness for you unless you have that one. Go ahead.
I do love though in that scene the mice, and he's like trying to panic. Okay, because we have to back up a little bit, because so there are the most intelligent creatures on the planet end up being these mice, but they're millions of years old. There are these life forms from forever ago. They wanted the meaning to life, so they built this computer called Deep Thought. they're like, Deep Thought, what's the meaning of life? And Deep Thought's like, which is voiced by Helen Mirren. And she's like, oh, I'll have to think about that. I'd come back in like 7.5 million years. So 7.5 million years go by. And they're like, what is the answer? And she just goes, 42. And then I just love everyone's like all happy and excited. And they stop. And then you just hear some guy in the background who goes, 42. But when you get to this scene at the end and Arthur is like panicking because literally they have him strapped down to a chair and the hat comes on and they're about to saw his brain off because they need his brain. And he's like, 42, 42. He's like, how many roads does a man need to walk down? They're like, that's not bad. And, like, but I just love how he goes into that whole spiel about like how Trisha's the one and how like that's what life is all about. And then he's like, you know, so that's life. And they're like, we don't care about happiness. We want to be famous. And they're like, we're going to take your brain anyways. And it's so funny. It's so funny. I just love too how they're all, the rest of them are all like drunk and happy. It's like kind of like Alice in Wonderland where it's like, don't eat that. Like something's going to happen to you. And they're all just like, Arthur, hey. And they're like, please have some tea. And they're like, and then they start falling asleep while they're going to take his brain out. I think that bit is so funny. And then I think we can just save like what we want to talk, like what else we want to talk about. But we have to talk about the freaking ending, because here they are. He kills the mice. Mm. They decide that, you know, it's time to go. And then they can hear the Vogons outside coming. And it's like, also, I just love the Vogons so much. All the detail in the Vogons is so great. Yeah. They are so funny. Like, I have no sympathy. Like, resistance is useless. Like, I love how they talk and stuff. They're so cool. But I love that, like, they show up. They're behind, like, a little RV getting shot at. Marvin's there.
Caravan.
The caravan. Okay. Well, it's like an RV kind of like here or whatever, but caravan, sure. Mm-hmm. And Marvin gets shot. And like, I just feel so bad because like Trisha's like, Marvin. And you're like, oh God, they killed Marvin. Realize like the point of view gun is there. And you're, and then it starts all clicking together. And then Marvin being the smart pants that he is, he opens it all the way so it can give like a full blast. And he just knocks them all over and they're all like, oh, what's the point? Why bother? So Marvin saves everybody. It's the greatest freaking ending ever. And it's so good. I love Marvin. He is so amazing. He saved everybody. And then they decide to leave Earth. And I really like that conversation. Like, Bill Nighy's like, is there anything like you want us to change? Is there anything that it doesn't need? And Arthur just realizes he's just ready to go explore the galaxy with Trisha. And he's like, yeah, me. You don't need me. And then they go up on the spaceship. So, yeah, go ahead.
I love in that, what it's got some of the bits that really crack me up when the Vogons are trying to catch them and Ford is just running at them and they're like, he's got a car, run away.
And he's locked the gate.
And then they chase him back and he's locked the gate from the other side. We'll have to go around.
And then Zaphod's in the RV, like he's like, how do I start this? He turns on the oven and like all the flames go up. It's just how stupid everybody is in this movie. It's so good. I just love that Marvin gets to save the day. It's just, I don't know, how could it be any better than that? And really that's the end of the movie. I know there's some things I really love that happened throughout that we didn't have to do like a deep dive of. But is there anything like you guys want to talk about that we haven't talked about yet?
I'll be honest. At the end, I was getting nervous that it was a dream sequence that he's going to wake up. And it was like, because they fell asleep. And then I was like, no, don't be this one of these. Like, wakes up the day after she leaves with the other guy at the party and he goes, calls her up. I was getting nervous at that point. So I'm glad it wasn't that.
No.
Yeah. No. Thank God.
No. I just wrote down a couple of really nice lines. I talked about how much I enjoyed Martin Freeman and Bill Nighy. And they have that wonderful moment when Bill Nighy's character just says, I'd much rather be happy than right. So he says, well, are you? He says, well, that's where it all falls down, of course. And it's just such a summary of this film, isn't it? It's the idea that the right way, the meaning of life is to be happy, but it's not actually easy to be happy. So when you've actually got it in your hands, like at the end when Arthur probably realizes with Trisha that he could have that, and that's to seize it, to grasp it. Yeah. So I just loved that. It's gentle again. It's just gentle. It's not in your face. It's not like, this is the message of the movie. It's just two really nice, charming folk having a conversation.
One scene we didn't talk about that makes me laugh so hard is when they go to the Vogon planet and they're in that idea field. And anytime they think of something or get an idea, they get slapped in the face.
Oh, yes. That was my favorite.
It's so it's so good. And then a little bit later, they're trying to get so Trisha got kidnapped by Vogons, and they're trying, and they're they have to wait in line, and Martin Freeman gives the greatest line ever. He's like, I'm British, I know how to queue. And so they go and they wait in line for the paperwork.
Yes.
But I do also want to mention that Zaphod is president of the galaxy, and he kidnaps himself. And everyone's like, we have to catch his kidnapper and save the president. It's like, it's the same person.
And they keep trying to shoot the kidnapper.
Don't shoot Zaphod.
Keep trying to shoot the kidnapper. And then, and like the vice president's like, but it's the same person.
And also just his vice president like being totally in love with him the whole time. And she's so jealous of Zooey Deschanel. And then they finally get together at the end and you're all happy for them. And then nobody cares. They get to go and take the spaceship and like just like have a good time. You know.
Duck face.
Yeah.
She was great. I thought all of them were, everybody in this was so good. Like all the cast was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, John Malkovich was brilliant.
Yeah, that was a new made-up character for this movie specifically. Mm-hmm. I did like that he was giving the sermon, and then at the end they said like "bless you" or "gesundheit" at the end of the when the great handkerchief will come and wipe us clean. I thought that was really fun. And just anytime Sam Rockwell was laughing, where he'd be like, Magrathea, but then he'd be like, Hamakavula. And like, it just like, it seems like it was a fun movie. I don't know. I haven't really looked into it, but they all had a good time. And I just like everybody so much in this. And I think everyone gives such a great performance and doing exactly what they needed to do. From reading the books, I feel like they all pretty much landed the plane for how they needed to be.
Well, this is a rediscovery mix, Marcy. Mm. So answer the question. Have you rediscovered this movie?
Yes, I love this movie so much. I will probably try to watch it more often. It has been a really long time, but it's just, like you said, Dirk, it's like a little warm blanket. And it makes me laugh so hard. It makes me so happy. And just like, God, I miss Alan Rickman so much. So anytime you get to hear his lovely voice, even as a manically depressed robot, it's the greatest gift you could ever have.
What about you, Mikey? Did you discover it? How do you feel?
Yeah, you said in the beginning it's a cup of tea. You were in your element, very British, cozy. And Marcy said it was just cozy. I think I didn't even realize I was smiling like halfway in this movie. I was just smiling the whole time because it does feel very much like that. Like it's something to just enjoy and nothing else. And which makes, I think comedy is great because when it's done well, you have those moments of profoundness or deepness, and it hits even harder than the whole movie that's serious. So I loved the flow of this movie and the off the wall kind of just randomness of it. And great pick. I definitely want to watch it again.
Oh, cool. Everything. And it's only PG too, which is nice. I think you can watch it with your kids too if they
definitely.
If they can seem interested in it. So it might be a good one.
They can
yeah.
pay attention.
Yeah, if they're not like, what the hell are these dolphins singing about? What about you, Dirk? Do you feel like you rediscovered this movie?
Yeah, I think that I can understand where Mikey was coming from in the beginning when you sort of said you might struggle to understand if you could recommend it to everyone. And I think part of that for me is it moves so quickly. Mm. It moves so quickly. And sometimes you're just like, how is that scene connected to this scene? And even after I'd watched it yesterday, after it finished, I was like, what happened in the end then? You know, like I was kind of like, how did we get to that point? How do we get to that point? So I think that if you're looking for a tight narrative structure, you may be a little bit frustrated at times. But if you just want some beautiful, hilarious, sci-fi whimsy romp, great people having a great time, and just ingenuity and creativity, then I feel like you can't turn your nose up at this. Mm-mm. And I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. And just for all the reasons we've said, I don't want to repeat them, but I very much enjoyed it. I was grateful to watch it again. Thank you, Matt.
Yeah, ensemble, man. Mm-hmm. Like when we talk about doing an ensemble, mm-hmm. this would have been a good one, because I liked when they're all together and there are parts when they're divided and I'm just like, oh, I want them to get back together kind of thing.
Well, there we go. That is The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. But now we're moving away from the cinema screen right into your audio ears as we transition into our music mixtape. And this is the part of the show where we all pick a song that we thought about or we think relates to the movie in some way, and we share it with you, our friends. If you look down in the show notes, there'll be a link to our Spotify playlist for all the songs we picked. But who's going to go first? Mikey.
Yeah.
You go first.
I did want to say Mos Def is still creating music. I forgot. Black Star just came out with an album like 2 years ago. And their first album was great with Talib Kweli. And it's because I really wanted to do a Mos Def song, but I didn't go that route. I wanted to think of something galactical. Is that right? The right word?
Mm-hmm. Love. Sure it is.
Love that is in the stars. And I picked Frank Ocean's Moon River. Wider than a mile, I'm crossing you in style someday. A dream maker, my heart. Wherever you're going, I'm going that way. Two drifters off to see the world. Such a crazy world to see. We're all chasing after chasing after our ends.
I'm crossing you in style someday.
That's why I just
said. Mikey, do you know who originally sang that?
Nat King Cole. I have no
Audrey
idea.
Audrey Hepburn.
No way.
In Breakfast, really? At, Breakfast at Tiffany's. That's the song I walked down the aisle to.
Look at that. Wow.
Have you ever heard her sing it? I'll share it after this.
I haven't seen Breakfast at
Tiffany's. She sang it. Yeah, it's absolutely heartbreaking when she sings it. Yeah.
That was the original version. Oh, wow.
The original version is Audrey Hepburn. Yeah.
Wow.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Before I say my choice, I will also add that I absolutely flipping love the version of So Long, Thanks for All the Fish at the end of this film.
Oh, yeah. So long and thanks for all the fish.
The fish. that's Neil Hannon. He's a he does music under the name of The Divine Comedy. If you want a really good whimsical time, go on Spotify or your streaming service of choice and look up The Divine Comedy. They are brilliant. He's a brilliant songwriter. I've seen him DJ once in a nightclub and he was off his face, off his absolute face. But God bless you, Neil Hannon. So long and thanks for all the fish. My choice.
So sad. I'm sorry. I'm just like going to start singing. The lyrics of that song are so hilarious. Funny.
So good. I've genuinely struggled to get it out of my head. But I have picked a different song. I haven't just gone for Neil Hannon singing So Long, Thanks for All the Fish. I've gone for a band called Spiritualized and their song that is called Ladies and Gentlemen, We Are Floating in Space.
Oh, wow.
And it's a love story, this song, much like this movie really is a love story. And I'm going to follow the suit of you and I'll quote some lyrics to you. I will love you till I die. And I will love you all the time. So please put your sweet hand in mine and float in space and drift in time.
I will love you all the time.
So it's a very sort of, and it's also Mikey got a bit of a connection.
Yeah, wow.
It's not quite a connection, wild, but yeah. He also has some repeat. There's also some repeated lyrics in the background of the song "Can't Help Falling in Love with You," sort of going over in the background. So it's a bit timey wimey with Moon River there, but that is spiritualized. And ladies and gentlemen, we are floating in space.
Hmm.
Marcy.
Speaking of Doctor Who, timey-wimey.
Sorry.
wow, I feel like so lame. Mine just a cute little song that made me think of like more Trisha talking to Arthur about just like come along and go on this ride with me. So I picked Sit Next to Me by Foster the People. And, mm-hmm. you know, like the chorus, like come over here and sit next to me. We can see where things go naturally.
Mm.
Just say the word and I'll part the sea. Come over here and sit next to me. And then it just goes, I'll take you higher. And then it's so cute. But I want a specific version of it. So luckily I'm editing this week and I can add in the version I like to this song. All I want is you saying, come over here and sit next to me. We can see where things go naturally. Just say the word and I'll part the sea. Just come over here and sit next to me. I just thought it was cute, just like going for a little ride and like gonna go explore the galaxy together. I thought that's what that made me think of.
Sounds perfect to me. Sounds perfect to me. I think that is what this film is all about. It's called The Hitchhiker's Guide. It's about going exploring. That's what it is, mm-hmm. isn't it? And it's about sometimes exploring isn't necessarily mind-boggling, but it's just an adventure. And if you do it with the right person, it's the right kind of adventure. I think that sounds like it sums mm-hmm. it up, Marcy. Mm-hmm. But, right, you may not agree with me, and you may be thinking, Mikey's got the right choice here, Frank Ocean, Moon River. So why don't you get out your telephones and go over to our Instagram page, which is the_movie mixtape, and you'll be able to vote on your favourite song choice. At the weekend, but also a new added feature, which is not on the Instagram, but is in our Discord channel. Yeah, that's right. We got Discord. If you click down in the show notes, you will see a link to join the Discord. In that, you can also have access to Seti Bimco Part 2, the Revengers Discord, and Spaghetti and Freddy's Discord. And in there, we do have a channel where we talk about our song choices. And some people from the Chasing Amy episode have put a song choice in, Kablasto, and Grugruk today. Thank you very much. You put some song choices in there. But getting back to our Instagram, you will also be able to see all of Mikey's beautiful artwork. And if you saw his Chasing Amy artwork, what a piece of creativity right there with the comment pages. Mikey, you're too good for us. Too good for us. I'm blowing you a kiss. That is the_movie mixtape. On the Instagram. And as well as doing that, what you could do is you can contact us at our email address, themoviemixtapepod@gmail.com. And guess what, Mikey? We got an email.
I don't even get addressed anymore.
All right, baby. Well, Marcy doesn't get addressed because I told her before the show that we had an email. And I didn't trust her reaction to act naturally surprised. So here we go. We've got an email. It's from our good friend. I'd mentioned his podcast just a moment ago, Seti Bimco. It's Tim Hamilton.
Oh, Timmy.
I'm just going to read it. Hello, mixed up tapers. No, Dirk, I have not seen Rosie lately. But Jenny Slate was filming something in our hood, and I saw her about 3 times while out and about.
No way.
Who is Jenny Slate?
Oh, my God. She's a comedian, and she's, wait, have you seen Zootopia?
Kind of.
You know, the
but
sheep.
She's not a fox, is she?
She's the sheep lady. Miss Bellwether.
I know. Hold on. You have seen Everything Everywhere All at Once, and she's the...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she's the dog walker.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I knew that name does ring a bell. Yes. Thanks, Tim. I do know who that is. I bet you... Do you know what? I bet you, though, Tim has seen Red Dwarf. Tim, have you seen Red Dwarf? We talked about it earlier on. Have you seen that? I bet you bloody have, haven't you? As for your next movie, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, I will not watch it.
What the fuck?
I feel like he's a super fan, that's why. Here we go.
Let me explain. Yeah. When I was a wee lad, I loved science shows such as Carl Sagan's Cosmos.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of sus sounds in that. Thus, when I saw there was this new show on PBS called Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, I was very excited. I thought it was another science-type show about the planets and black holes and such. I should explain to Dirk that in the US, we often see cool British shows on PBS. I saw Monty Python and the two Ronnies, and all that. I thought every show from England was always fantastic until I saw such shows as Are You Being Served and Keeping Up Appearances. The least said about those, the better. We'll keep that. We'll have a private conversation about those shows, Tim. Anyway, I tuned in to see Hitchhiker's Guide only to find it was not a science show, but my new absolute favorite show.
Wow.
After that, I learned that the novels existed and also devoured them ASAP.
Wow.
When this movie came out, everyone, and he's putting capital letters, everyone, hated it. Thus, I do not want some of my favorite childhood memories ruined for me. Thus, I won't watch it, which I feel bad about, seeing as Dirk has watched some truly horrible Sedi Bimco pics. I have, Tim. Awful movies. Cheers. Love the show, Tim Hamilton.
Wow.
What do you got to say about that, Marcy?
Oh, Tim, I didn't hate the movie. I loved the movie. So I think it's aged really well. It has cult status now.
Let me frame it in a slightly different way for you, Tim, right? We've already said Douglas Adams wrote this film. He did. This is not somebody else doing this movie. He wrote this screenplay. This is his vision for the movie. And all right, it's not the same as previous iterations, but that's what he wanted. He wanted it like this. So just stick that in your pipe and smoke it. And then see how you feel about it. Maybe challenge yourself. Maybe instead of going state to state with your movies, why don't you go up into outer space and watch The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and come back to us next week. But we love you, Tim.
Tim, I would say don't listen to anybody else. Make your own opinions. Watch them.
Yeah, Tim.
What? Make your own opinions about it, Tim. Okay?
What's up with you, Tim? Can't make up your own mind?
I knew the bad thing. He's such a connoisseur of everything. I love it. It's so amazing. Like all the wealth of knowledge he has. It's impressive.
Normally. Not on this movie.
Yeah. That's why. We need you to watch this. He's probably not even going to listen to this episode. Let's be honest. It's
not even listens. Tim listens. God bless.
No, I mean, but if he's not going to watch the movie, why is he going to listen to us talk?
To be fair, he probably knows all the plot points if he's seen the movie and read all the books. Tim, we love you.
Yeah.
If you are interested in terrible takes like that, then you should listen to his podcast, Sedi Bimco Part 2, The Revenge. And you can join the Discord and have access to... So you can chat to Tim in the Discord and go, Tim, what are you banging on about, mate? What are you banging on about? But also give him a great big hug and then a kiss because he's lovely. But there we go. That is it. If you want to be nice like Tim, well... pseudo nice like Tim, then you can write to us at themoviemixtapepod@gmail.com. But that's it. That's the end of the episode. Now, all that's left is I will unfurl my thoughts and explain what movie we're going to do next time. And I, Mikey, look me dead in the eyes right now. I struggled a bit with this mix because I wanted to keep with the spirit of the mix, but also find something that was also a little bit like this. So somewhere in between your pick and Marcy's pick, because I feel like this was a really sort of fun, whimsical pick. Your pick, we were really thinking, Chasing Amy. We were all thinking, like, do we still like this movie? It was a really hard thinking. So I wanted to land somewhere in the middle, okay? And so I've gone for, let me find my piece of paper. I mean, I know what I've gone for, but I just want to make it official by reading it off my piece of paper. Have you ever heard of the year 1986?
My favorite year.
That's when this movie came out. You know, 1986. Marcy, off air, said this movie we just talked about is an old movie. Well, it's twice as old as your movie, Marcy. So stuck on that. Have you ever heard of a guy who goes by the Muscles from Brussels? That's right. He's called Jean-Claude Van Damme. The movie that we're going to do is a little old thing called No Retreat No Surrender.
Oh.
From the 1986. So that's what we'll do next time. Wow. It is a martial arts movie, but it has got one of the most ridiculous high concepts you could ever want to hear about.
Yes.
And next time I'll talk about why I feel it is a film that maybe I have to rediscover. Okay? But that'll be next episode.
Marcy's overjoyed. Over here in the UK. Can't contain herself.
Oh, she's excited. Are we making t-shirts for Jean-Claude?
Jean-Claude.
Over here in the UK, you can watch it on Freevee or whatever it's called with ads. I don't know about over there, but I'm sure you can find it on the YouTube if you so desired. So there, we will see you next time on the movie mixtape.
Bye. Bye for
so
now.
So long, and thanks for all the fish.
I talked to the computer and it said, "Sucky suckers." Movie Mixtape is a podcast hosted by Dirk, Mikey P, and me, Marcy. Episodes edited by Dirk and Marcy. Show art by Mikey P. Our logo comes from Iron Tooth Design. Follow us on Instagram at @the_moviemixtape or email us at themoviemixtapepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Bye.
This is a Tape Deck podcast.
I love Marvin. Love Marvin. I love Marvin so much. Oh,
I feel like Mia's gonna love it. Like, I feel like if I
He's
showed her,
so she'd cute.
Yeah.